We kick off hour number three of the program. This segment brought to you by the McKinney team with Keller Williams. It is a great time to buy or sell here in Knoxville. And it might be raining this moment, but coming up Sunday, the weather's going to be gorgeous. And it is time. If you're looking to move, or if you're looking to sell, especially, seller's market.
This weather, it's just got me in a funk this morning.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, I'm mad.
I thought I had a great first hour.
Yeah.
Kind of lucked into it.
We
were like a Jarrett Garantano single coverage throw down the sideline first hour. Let's just see what happens.
Yeah.
And then, man.
Now I'm getting closer to fishing in frigid temps and rain and 15-mile-an-hour sustained winds, and I'm just not thrilled.
Once we hit that leprechaun pot of gold, we were rolling.
Yeah.
Augusta Vol tweets in, as I understand it, if he's fired, there's no buyout. Talking about Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M. And if he leaves on his own accord, there's no buyout. His $75 million is fully guaranteed, provided he's working there for the life of that contract. So if he leaves, whatever's been paid is what he gets. So basically, it's like saying there's no... It's just a different way to talk about guarantees.
Well, JT tweeted in, and the quote in the article about his contract says, if Fisher is fired without cause, A&M owes him the entirety of his remaining contract.
That's very different than what
that's what it is.
That's from Dallas News article. Yeah.
So if he just starts losing and they fire him, they owe him whatever left on the $75 million in 10 years.
According to ESPN's playoff predictor, Texas A&M 4% chance to make the college football playoff, less than a 1% chance to win it. LSU at a 32% chance to make the college football playoff with a 6% chance of winning the national title.
I do think Texas A&M is the one team that hasn't been relevant in playoff and national title stuff that does kind of have what it takes. The problem is, I don't think they would get there until Nick Saban, Alabama, kind of come more down to earth. And really, it would help if some of those other SEC West teams weren't so damn good.
Well, this year, too, for A&M, their schedule is very, very, very
That's
tough.
What I mean. Last year, they had Clemson on the ropes, but even if they'd won that game, it wouldn't have mattered. If Texas A&M could have traded schedules with Clemson last year, A&M could have been like the Notre Dame of the ACC, right? Yeah. A&M could have kind of survived and advanced a couple of their toughest games, and all of a sudden they have a one-loss ACC championship, and they look like a playoff team. And then when they played Alabama, it was at least somewhat competitive. It wasn't like they just got completely run off the field, if I remember correctly.
It was the closest helmet I drew in contention, and it was still at 20 points. For SEC Survivor.
Of course it was.
Yeah. But for A&M this year, they got to go to Clemson. And, of course, they have to play the entire SEC West. And for the SEC East matchups that they have, they play South Carolina at College Station on November the 16th. And the following week, they head to Athens, Georgia.
Yikes.
That is probably the least likely schedule I would want to play in all of the SEC this year.
It's nice it's not Tennessee for once.
For chances of winning, I guess entertainment value, yeah, it's what the fans want, but very difficult to actually advance. And, with that schedule and the SEC, I just don't see how you're going to beat out Alabama to make it to the SEC championship.
I don't see anyone on the best chance to make the playoff list. I'm not going to believe Michigan has a prayer at doing anything significant until they prove that they can. I think it's the usual suspects again, right? Georgia, Oklahoma, LSU, for me, those are the only teams that seem like they have what it takes to challenge Clemson and Alabama. I'm not going to believe in Notre Dame. Are you freaking kidding me?
Yeah.
They're next.
I hear they're in rebuild mode right now.
Then you have Oregon and Florida, and come on. Penn State, Auburn, Ohio State, Michigan State, Washington, A&M. Those are the next ones down the list. Hell, you're two spots from Tennessee at that point.
Why do people believe in Tennessee this year? 15th in the FPI, 10-2, says Adam. I'm starting to get really freaked out.
Wait, did he say 10-2? That was 9-3.
Was it 9-3 or 10-2, Davey?
I haven't heard anybody say 10-2.
Okay, maybe it was 9-3.
It was 9-3. It was Georgia, Florida, and
Georgia,
Alabama.
Florida, Alabama.
I've heard people
say
it, but
are we too close? to see that maybe this is going to work out, or are we close enough to know it's not?
I have been too optimistic on Tennessee. People think I'm negative. I've been too optimistic on Tennessee for like the last 4 years in a row. Like, I've picked them to win more games than they won for a while now. So I feel you. I understand what you're saying, but then I look at my own track record here, and I'm like, wait a minute, I've been too optimistic. How is this possible? Maybe I hope this is the year I'm too pessimistic.
Yeah, I feel as a group we've done a really good job of being able to limit and pinpoint kind of where the Vols are going to be. Let me rephrase. During the off season, we have done a fantastic job of picking where the Vols will be, and then the season rolls around and we get we're going to beat West Virginia and
No. Don't you put that
not on
us.
You none on, of us on Houston.
Said, none of us said
it was
that.
Pruitt that said it.
Houston did.
I just heard it. Pruitt said it.
Can we just spare water out of it.
It was Jeremy going around to the booster saying, of course we're going to beat West Virginia. Congo said it in the exit interview. He's like, yeah, we thought we were going to win that game.
We knew we were going to win that game.
We had no doubt.
People said mean things to me whenever I was just like, we're probably going to get beat by 20 points.
You go a little too sheepy for the other team.
And I was right on the money.
Yeah, but no one wants to hear that.
Okay, well, do you want me just to lie to you like the flagship does?
No, you just pick West Virginia and shut up. You don't have to sit here and say, well, Greg's going to win the Heisman. They're going to win more than 9 games, and this Sills guy's going to be All-American. I just think they're so good. That was you. Jeremy Pruitt, though, he said they were going to win. Sorry, I trusted the coach. My bad.
That's never hurt anyone in Tennessee's history before.
No. Nope.
Is it cause for concern that Congbo said they were so confident they were going to win, or do you actually like that, that Jeremy – maybe we can just put on Pruitt. Is it cause for concern that Pruitt went around telling boosters they're going to be 4-0 last year to start the season? Or do you like that, and do you think that that type of positivity is what can actually make it happen in the future?
You got to believe.
Because, see, I have positivity. I have this weird theory that both ways can be successful.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, I've been around people more in the basketball world than football.
Some people
who are just like so optimistic, they're like, "Oh yeah, I'm gonna make this shot," and it's like, "There's no way." Bam, they make it. Like
Kobe.
their optimism makes them so much. It makes them overachieve in a huge way. As a coach, I was the exact opposite. Like probably,
you're a poor mouther.
Probably our biggest upset win. I thought to myself, we had no chance of winning. But it's why I worked harder to try and give us the best chance to win. And
to
like
not
my,
get embarrassed?
Like, my negativity made me a better coach. A lot of players I've been around, their positivity makes them a better player. I'm not sure I've been around a coach that's super positive, that's like, picked us 13th in the league. We're definitely going to be a top three. I've never been around a coach that's that like positive, and then it makes them be really good.
Pearl. First year Pearl was that.
That's a great example. That's
first,
a really
first
good
year
answer.
Pearl was, they don't think you're going to make the NCAA tournament, and he brainwashed that team into a 2 seed.
That's the example. Maybe that's why I like Pearl so much.
Well, because when he does it, it works. Jerry Pruitt says we're starting 4-0, and we're 2-2, and got thrashed in 2 games.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier to do in basketball.
Yeah, that's true. I actually do think both can work. I mean, Lou Holtz was the ultimate poor mouther,
that and you're doing the work behind the scenes, though, I think eventually you get there. I do think you want your guys to play with confidence. I think you want them to have that edge, that swagger.
Well, why did Congbo say that they were confident they were going to win? It's because they put the work in. So I think if you've put the work in, whether you're kind of like, guys, today's going to be a challenge. We have to play perfectly to win this game. That's one way you can get your guys to play
a great
game.
The only problem is, though, when things start going bad, you start to kind of doubt the success of the work you've done. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, man, we did all this work, and it's not working. What the hell?
I would always tell my teams going into a big game, always, I would say, listen, something is not going to go, you know, what I mean in really big games. I would always say, listen, something tonight is not going to go right. There's going to be a bad call. Somebody's going to get hurt. Something's going to happen. One of their kids is going to bank in a three. Like something bad. Be prepared for something to go wrong and for us to feel like maybe it's not our night. And that's when we just have to dig in. That's when we have to stick to. And then you got kind of your one or two main emphasis points. And that way, when it comes, you're like, okay, yep. I can't believe they called a charge here on our point guard who now has three fouls.
But we knew this would happen.
But we knew this was coming.
We were prepared for this.
Now our backup point guard, I trust that player. They're going to come through for us or whatever the case is.
It's when you give them the Danny O'Shea speech.
One time.
I think that just goes back to coaching style and it can all work. And I don't know. I think I kind of like it that Comgo said when they scored that touchdown right in front of us, I believed. I've seen games like that. We mentioned that first grade Georgia game. They couldn't do crap at all. They were just going to get rolled. And all of a sudden,
one
deflected
good thing
punt,
yep.
And Tennessee can move the football. Couple fourth and shorts, converted. Touchdowns, and here we are.
Got a ball game.
So it felt like that could potentially have happened against the West Virginia game, but you came out of halftime, were awful, came out of the weather delay, or that was the same thing, right? Came out of the long halftime, weather delayed halftime, and you didn't have it anymore. Sports. That's why we love it.
9-3.
Top 15 team.
Travis Cabbage with a good point. None of these polls believe in Tennessee. They pump up UT because they know they have a gullible fan base that latches onto anything positive and takes it as gospel.
It's based off metrics for these that
math.
We've been talking about, yeah.
Well, McClintock's is math. I guess the FBI
is all
math. Too.
Oh. What you on a little more on the flip side? If you want to weigh in, 865-546-8200.
Do I trust math?
Last call for phone calls.
Oh, do I trust math? Pride of the
Southland band playing Rocky Top. Brad says, if the Preds lose game 5, you're banned from attending all Tennessee sporting events.
That's your Gold Gym Fitness tip of the day of the week.
Stay away from Davey Hudson. Hit the field line up for the just work out like him. It's football time in Tennessee.
Whew. We've all been waiting ball. Speaking of, real quick, we can get back to football if we want. 9-3, that kind of thing. Easter's on Sunday. Do you guys have Easter dinner or early, whatever, I don't know, early dinner, late lunch every year?
Lunch.
Like with your family?
Late lunch after church.
Do you go somewhere or does someone cook?
We go over to my aunt's.
Do you always have the same thing or same group of things for the most part?
I want to say ham, but don't quote me on that.
Ham. What about?
I feel like
mine was always ham too. Nate, is it Easter ham?
We've had ham too. It's crazy.
Ham.
Yeah.
Julia, you're going home for Easter. Ham?
Ham. I think it's because everybody goes turkey on Thanksgiving. It's a mix on Christmas because a lot of people just had turkey. A lot of people do ham on Christmas, but some people don't. And then Easter, it's like,
yeah,
what's left?
I love Easter. I hate ham. it's so funny to me because it seems like Easter, everyone has ham. And boy, I just don't like ham.
You get a good honey baked ham, I'm in.
What else do you like? Is there anything else? Man, honey baked's not bad, but it's always the thick cut, cubed ham.
We get it sliced.
Well, no, I'm just saying a lot of people don't get the spiral honey baked decent ham.
Yeah, what you're talking about, I'm not a big fan of.
The steak ham.
Yeah, I don't like that either. I would eat it, but it's
honey baked is tolerable.
Have you had the thin sliced ham at Dollywood?
Can't say that I have.
It's incredible.
I've never had ham and said this is incredible.
I hadn't either until this moment.
I'm going to Dollywood.
Yeah.
Easter.
It's in one of the, it's in Meat and Three restaurant place. The Grandma's something. I don't know.
Yeah. I know the one you're talking about.
Yeah. It's a buffet too, so you can just get a whole plate of the
Country
ham.
Kitchen buffet.
It doesn't even taste like ham to me.
It's not ham.
No, it is.
Could be corned beef or something.
No, it's ham.
What else is always on the menu? Like potato salad? Do you guys always have potato salad on Easter?
It's never consistent. I feel like the ham's the staple, but outside of that, things change. There might be some deviled eggs.
Deviled eggs, always potato salad, always ham. I'm okay with potato salad. Don't like ham. I pretty much just gobble down deviled eggs, which is ironic because it's Easter.
Eggs, yeah.
Deviled is what I meant.
Oh. Yeah.
Do you guys do macaroni and mashed potatoes? Seems like Easter is it's like a cold meal. Like the ham's kind of room temperature. Deviled eggs are cold. Potato salad's cold. Pasta salad's cold. I don't think I like Easter dinner, except the deviled eggs, which are great.
Well, see, we started a new tradition with some families that don't have other family in town, so we started hosting for the last few years, and so it kind of depends on what they decide to bring.
Oh, you do like a potluck?
Yeah, I mean, what do people bring out? They
like
work it out.
Green bean casserole?
Yeah, usually something green beanish, either casserole or just straight green beans or, you know, mashed potatoes, ham.
Mac and cheese ever make the cut? Mac and cheese doesn't seem like an Easter dish to me. Is mac and cheese on your menu?
I don't think we've had.
Really?
It's hard to remember.
See, this is like the one meal like I'm having difficulty recalling what we always have.
It's just, it's always ham.
Yeah.
It's always ham and some kind of like salad.
We always have great bread too. Either, you know.
Homemade.
Homemade rolls,
like
or
a yeast
if it's,
roll.
Or if it's out of, if it's something to make quickly, it's either like nice, you know, crescent rolls or something like that.
Sister Schubert.
Sister Schubert. You can't
get
wrong there.
The big square ones.
Just chuck them in the
They
oven.
Make the best little sandwiches.
Mm-hmm. Ham sandwiches.
Seems like ham.
Do you like ham on your Sister Schubert roll?
We
always have
no.
A ton of mashed potatoes.
Don't love ham.
We're a big mashed potato family.
Can't go wrong with mashed potatoes.
That's right.
I'm not a big mashed potato fan.
Why does that not surprise you?
I know.
You hate everything that's good.
No cheese,
mac
no
and cheese,
mashed potatoes.
Out. Cheese, period, out. You don't like mashed potatoes? What's wrong with mashed potatoes?
It's more of a texture thing.
What are you, like baked potato?
Yeah.
Okay, when you chew it, it's mashed potatoes.
You get it there, but there's not milk in a baked potato.
Because you don't put sour cream on it, do you?
No.
Or cheese?
No.
Mm.
So yeah, it kind of goes back to dairy once again.
Yep. But you love ice cream.
For some reason.
You're a psychopath. I just want you to know that.
Yeah.
Just want you to know I think you're an absolute nut bar.
I just wasn't ready for nut bar.
You've been on a weird one today. Like, is this God-fearing?
That's what I was going to say the whole time. A couple people tweeted
people
that and they were like, really
that.
Didn't know where that was going to go on this Easter weekend.
I just was prepared for you to drop it right there.
What, GD?
Yeah.
No, come on. No. God-fearing planet. Can we not rehash my Easter egg incident?
The Nico app only.
For me to talk about the... God, no. That lady might not be alive anymore, but I'd hate for my family to hear about it and tell her. The one who said, you're not allowed to find the gold.
You might save another kid from that embarrassment moving forward.
No, I think they changed the rules the next year.
No.
The Derek Dooley rule.
Yeah.
Should have gone back.
The Houston rule, they called it. Should
have gone back. Chris knows best.
Damn right. Ham. What? We got to replace ham.
What are we
okay,
going to
go to? Okay, well, let's talk it out.
Turkey. Turkey has Thanksgiving.
No.
Beef tenderloin.
What about, what about pork tenderloin?
Okay.
I like pork tenderloin. I don't like ham. Is that a fair trade?
They're pig products. Should be
fine. I know. That's what I'm saying. Can I 86 the ham and sub in
a part of the...
Or do we go
with chicken? I mean, that's the only other option, right?
No, chicken's all the time. Like fried chicken. I mean, like you can just have chicken all year. I mean, fried chicken on Easter would be pretty awesome. But again, it's awesome all the time. Like,
I don't know. I'm kind of on the fried chicken for Easter plan now.
Does anyone out there
I
do
take
like,
that stance.
Like cheeseburgers off in the grill for Easter? Like, is that a thing for somebody? Does anyone out there do
just
like steak dinner on
is
Easter?
Is there a religious tie to
I don't know.
Us Gentiles eating pork on
I don't know.
Easter? Because, you know, Jesus, who was a Jew, gave his life for all of us. So we're basically symbolizing that now it's okay to eat pork.
Go with the type
because
of fish.
Now, there you go. Maybe some fish.
What fish is like salmon and ham are kind of the same color.
What were with the five loaves and the fishes?
What were those fish?
I don't know.
That's a good question. I'd like to know what the fish were.
I'll have to email Dr. Creasy out at UCLA. I'm sure he'll let me know. He's a big biblical expert.
Were they saltwater catfish? Could you fish fry? Fish fry on Easter?
Sea of Galilee, right? Probably.
I'm just saying they got saltwater catfish and freshwater catfish. Obviously, they were in the Sea of Galilee, so it's saltwater. I mean, was it grouper? Snapper? Catfish? I got all these questions.
Fish and bread? I mean, that'd be very biblical.
Yeah. Like a catfish sandwich. A po'boy.
Po'boy.
Louisiana's got it.
We're on it.
You know,
po'boys for Easter.
Jesus was not a rich man. Well, he's rich in what counted, though. Faith and friends.
Treasures in heaven.
Yeah.
What type of fish?
They got shrimp out there. Sea of Galilee.
I doubt.
They couldn't eat shrimp.
What?
Shellfish.
No shellfish.
I don't think so. Shellfish weren't popular until like the early 1900s.
I wonder if our Bible talk's as bad as our medical talk.
No, this is good.
Or our drug
this
talk.
This is good. I mean, lobster Marijuana. And crab were considered like bugs of the sea until poor people started eating them in New York, and then rich people were like, hey, this is actually pretty good, and then it became expensive. Do you know that?
Did not.
Yeah, like originally,
I had no clue
crab,
about that at all.
Lobster, all that shrimp, it was poor people food.
Lobster.
It was dirt cheap. And then rich people were like, put a little butter on this. It's not half bad. And then the price goes skyrocketing.
A little butter,
and then we
a little
ate
Cajun.
Them all, and we figured out that there's crabs in the bottom of the Bering Sea, and we just go out there and harvest the dickens out of them. And boy, are they delicious.
Mm. I got some answers for you.
Okay.
Of the fish in the Sea of Galilee?
So there's the must. Have you heard of this? M-U-S-H-T. Like mush, but with a T on it. Mushed.
Mushed.
Yeah.
I've not heard of a mush.
This
mushed.
Group, apparently it's a group of fish. This group includes the popular tilapia Galilea, commonly called St. Peter's fish.
Tilapia is delicious.
Well,
so there's a tilapia that they catch out of the Sea of Galilee, probably still to this day. That makes sense, right?
I don't want to. Go ahead.
They're a freshwater tilapia. Can they live in both?
Maybe that's.
Striped bass can live in salt and freshwater.
On tilapia, like I used to like tilapia, but now. I've read they're so like farm raised now that basically they're just eating each other's own excrement to kind of get bigger.
Yeah, pretty much fertilizer. Yeah,
I mean you can see where they're farmed from on the packages and get
farm
yeah.
raised
more. Yeah, yeah.
Got to go with the wild caught though.
Biney is another one, or it says barbels, B-A-R-B-E-L-S or B-I-N-Y.
Barbels.
Biney. Barbels. This group consists of three species of the carp family.
No, not doing it. Not having carp on Easter. Sorry.
The two most common species are the Barbus longiceps and the Barbus canis.
They ate carp?
Both are used by Jews for Sabbath meals and feasts. And then...
I've actually heard people say carp's not as bad as people think.
And then they used to catch a bunch of sardines, apparently, out of
sardines
there, too.
Sardines
would, and they'd pickle them, mostly.
Been there.
Yeah. Herring? Did you say anything about herring?
That's the only three I have of this source. So.
Okay, I'm out on the carp. I think if someone wants to make some, I will try it. I could do tilapia. We could do a tilapia fish fry. Hmm. Tilapia po' boy for Easter. Make it a thing. On a nice baguette. Some French fries. And some deviled eggs.
And fish.
Bang. Tilapia. How about that? I would have never guessed. That makes it a lot easier. I was worried it'd be something like exotic.
Yeah. Have to go crazy.
Like a Chilean sea bass or something.
Chilean?
Well, I'm just saying, for example.
Chilean?
Yeah. No, it's chili and sea bass. It's a soup.
Oh.
Hit the brake. Hit the brake.
Good save.
Hit the brake.
Welcome back into the Fan Run Studios, Fox Sports Knoxville. This segment's brought to you by Gold's Gym, the official gym of 3 and Out. Fish is healthy, right? Eat a bunch of fish. Is that today's Gold's Gym fitness
deep
tip of the
fried,
day?
Fried, battered, and dip it in.
I don't think that counts.
Wasn't going to go that far with it, even though that is tasty.
Tartar.
But,
sauce.
I mean, fish can be very good for you. You really fill up on the omega-3s. I know a lot of people don't like eat a can of tuna. It's not everybody's go-to, but it's a...
I haven't had tuna in a long time. I like tuna.
It's a good way to... What do you...
Salmon guy.
So we were kind of on this. Whenever you fix tuna, you like put like relish or some like salt and pepper kind of...
Relish, mayo, boiled eggs.
Okay.
Sweet relish, though. You got it.
But if you want to learn more about Gold's Gym, you can go online to goldsgym.com. Check it out there. You can also download a free 3-day VIP pass. Gives you access to the amenities at your local Gold's, 6 in the Knoxville area location, 2 in Chattanooga, upstate South Carolina, and western North Carolina. You can go online and find a Gold's Gym near you. Gold's Gym, the official gym of 3 and Out.
There you go.
Okay, you can get back to your football talk now. I'm sorry. Although I did have a dream last night that I got bit by a rattlesnake.
No, let's not now.
All right.
Actually, no, that's fascinating. Really?
An eagle brought it to me. I'm not kidding. In my dream,
an eagle brought
a bald eagle flies out of the sky.
I thought you told me you had this dream like last week.
No. What? No.
Now Nate's having deja vu.
Yeah, what the hell? No.
I've already heard this.
Okay.
Did you really not tell me?
Are you kidding me right now? No.
I'm
I had
not.
The dream last night. How about I have told you last week? In my dream, a bald eagle, not flapping his wings, just hovers down, and he has a snake in his mouth. And I think it's a gift. So I grab the snake.
Smart.
Snake bites me. And I'm like, oh, no. Good. Wait, what kind of snake is this? Those are fangs. Rattlesnake.
Good.
He's a little guy, too. They're more poisonous.
Hate to see it.
You had heard that story?
Yeah.
Huh.
I could have swore you had this dream the other night. Like last week.
Can
you
someone
came in and
what
said,
is, no, no.
You've not said this story in front of me, Houston.
Well, you're here when Nate's here, so that
but
means
then
that
again, I don't listen to a lot
that's
that
a good
goes
point
on
by you. Is that what does that mean when a bald eagle brings me a snake and it bites me? Is there some symbolism here?
Is there in my head the bald eagle in the with the E pluribus unum has a snake in his mouth? Is that a snake or just the tail of the
one out of many?
Seriously, like in the emblem, is that a snake? Is that a serpent? Is that supposed to be a serpent or just the? See, it's like the edge of the, kind of like the banner that says E pluribus unum. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think it's just a banner.
I typed in, but somebody put eagle and serpent on there, so I don't know. Anyway,
an eagle killing or eating a snake in a dream suggests that somebody around you is threatening the status quo.
Oh, baby,
what the bleep does that mean?
The pluribus unum eagle has us arrows in one hand
yes.
and an olive branch in the
right.
other.
Because we are the war machine of peace.
In his beak, he has like the tassel of the banner.
Don't tread on me, bro.
I said one out of many. It's out of many one.
Mm.
Yes.
Dreams of an eagle catching prey or fighting off some other animal suggest that you are torn between certain ideals and desires, and an eagle killing or eating a snake in the dream suggests that somebody around you is threatening the status quo.
I think you're threatened by me.
This is deep.
What is...
Apparently, people have turned that seal into a tattoo thing of the eagle with the snake, and they're, like, fighting.
Really?
Yeah. It can represent a battle of good versus evil, and others a battle of present versus past, or one belief system versus another.
Sometimes a snake bite in a dream can be a symbol of forgiveness, but if the poison of a snake remains in your body... After the snake has bitten you, it means that you may not be able to forgive someone.
I'll accept your apology whenever you're ready.
I may not be able to forgive you. You will not get an apology from me, you snake. You're the snake! Probably. Wow. Well, I don't know where to go from that. Back to football, I guess. That was him. That was the one in my dream right there. Big fangs. Huge. But this is why I didn't know it was a rattlesnake. His rattle didn't work. I had to look at
the
tail.
Wait, it didn't work at all?
No. He bit me, and I was like, uh-oh. Didn't think this was a rattlesnake. Checked his tail. It had the bumps, but it did not actually rattle. Let's see what that means.
It's weird that the snake was a symbol of, join or die, don't tread on me, early revolution stuff, and now the eagle is the United States symbol, and you had both of these in your dream. Maybe you're just feeling patriotic on this Easter 2019.
Do you know that the more a rattlesnake sheds, the more segments are added to its rattle?
Yes, of course. Everyone knows this.
Yeah, that's how it creates more.
Oh, gosh. If you get bitten by a rattlesnake in a dream, it is a very bad omen that you have a serious fight ahead of you, and you need to be prepared to fight for what you want in your life.
Oh, man. Maybe you'll catch a really big fish. Have it on the line soon.
Man.
To just see one is a sign of warning, and you need to heed it so that you won't have to fight. If there is a dead snake, I don't know if it was dead. It was dying. The eagle had it.
Well, it bit you.
Oh. This says if the snake is dying, then you will know that whatever trial you have in your life, that you've already passed it and have obviously succeeded. Okay.
sit here in silence, or
I'm processing.
I had some other football stuff to go to until Houston derailed.
No, we were
go
talking like
with the ham talk, and then that got to the fish talk, and now I don't even know. But apparently, so yesterday, Jason Lockenfora reported that Jeff Fisher was going to be one of the coaches in the new XFL.
I'm all in.
Yeah? You're looking forward to that?
Bring me Fisher, yeah, because then the team's just going to relocate to Tennessee. So.
Oh, I just thought they'd be awful.
Well, they'd start out awful.
No 7-9 bull bleep.
How many games are they even playing?
Have you heard that the CFL won't let the AAF players become players on their teams?
Well, they have to have a certain percentage of Canadian players.
It's that's not the reason. The reason is their AAF players are still technically under contract with the AAF, and so the CFL is afraid that if they sign any of them, then the AAF will like try and sue them or something. So the players are really, really just screwed. What?
I went to alodreams.com, and it says 50 dreams about snakes and what they mean. But look at what it does to my mouse on that page. It becomes a bald eagle. You see it flying around?
Yeah.
What's going on here? What are the odds? I need a break from the show for at least a day. 2 days. Tomorrow and the next day, I can't do the show. Do you see the map?
I see it.
The Tennessee hills ain't no smoggy smoke on Rocky Top, ain't no telephone bills. Once I had a girl on Rocky Top.
Final segment, three and out. This Good Friday edition of the program.
Did I just do prophecy? It is Easter.
What's your prophecy?
I had a dream about a snake and an eagle. I go to a website about snakes, and it's an eagle cursor on the mouse.
I don't think that's...
I have the gift of stupid prophecy. We've talked about this before.
Okay,
I think
did you do stupid prophecy? That's a different question.
Boom. Stupid prophecy. Completely worthless, but it happens all the time. Did I ever tell you about the
apparently
time?
Apparently, I'd already seen this.
Yeah.
In the future.
Well, that's weird that you knew about my dream before I even started telling it. Have I ever told you about the time I made the guy fall down the stairs at Bass Pro Shops?
In real life, or is that a dream too?
No, this is real life.
No, I don't.
I was walking down the stairs. There was an old man in front of me, and I said, "Man, that guy's going to fall down these stairs." Why am I thinking that? That's a weird thing to think. Boom, the guy fell down the stairs. Could have saved him, but I didn't think I had the power. It's going to be cold and rainy tomorrow, I bet. Prophecy. But Sunday, very nice. For your picnic.
There's an interesting Tennessee football note on the way out the door today.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
Is it about snakes and eagle?
No.
No. How interesting can it be?
It's about Adrian Martinez, current Nebraska quarterback.
I'm interested to see how this relates to Tennessee.
David Ubbin wrote a piece about him, and of course he covers Tennessee football. So he had this section. Around the same time in 2017, after Tennessee hired Jeremy Pruitt, the Volunteers tried to stay involved with Martinez, who had developed a close relationship with former Vols coach Butch Jones and his quarterback coach, Mike Canales.
Chico! I feel like quarterback's coach is a bit of a stretch.
It's a bit of a stretch.
Martinez remained
open. It's
like
open. Passing game coordinator. It's just a title. It doesn't actually mean anything.
Martinez remained open enough to hear from the new staff, so Pruitt visited California. I'm beginning to learn a very common tactic here by Jeremy Pruitt. He wanted to see Tony at work. I believe that's Adrian's father.
Yes.
Tony said okay, but noted that the recruiting decision belonged to Adrian. Pruitt visited Tony, then went to Clovis West to see the target. It's a weird way to put that, but the visit did not go all that well.
Oh, man.
Quote, "Pruitt is one of those guys who is just going to stare at you and not blink and try to look into your soul," said George Patricians, Martinez high school coach. "I remember watching the conversation happen between Adrian and Pruitt. It was awkward. Adrian wasn't feeling it. It was just not comfortable." Kind of weird, kind of odd. But I'm going to take this as a positive, because if a kid was swayed by the Butch Jones magic, then I'm glad he didn't jive with Jeremy Pruitt, because that means Pruitt is real. Right? Surely. That hopefully is true.
Pruitt's definitely the eagle.
Okay.
Butch Jones is the snake.
Snake.
The I don't know what I am.
The devil.
What? Oh.
Snake.
I thought you meant me. I was let's pump the brakes a little bit on that one.
Can I say that? Is that bad? If I'd have known that sort of thing was frowned upon.
Well, which devil? You know, the biblical devil? Are we talking about, like, the Duke Blue Devil?
Well, you know, the snake
the Jersey Devil.
The snake became the symbol of the devil, but if you translate the original story from Genesis, really, snake was just the closest animal they had to that translation, but when the devil's first mentioned in the garden, and Eve is just fascinated by it, it's because really what the text says is that it was the shining one. Mm. So the devil was actually presenting itself as like something, you know, spiritual.
Gotcha.
Even maybe kind of heavenly, like the shining one. Former angel, of course.
The shining.
One. So I'm going with Butch Jones is a snake, and Jeremy Pruitt is definitely the eagle.
Today's show, man.
And he's even
bald. It has been a good Friday, for sure.
He's even bald.
Wait.
Jeremy Pruitt. He's our bald eagle.
I thought you were making an egg joke.
No.
I got you.
Yeah.
Bald eagle. Makes sense.
But this is at least the second time, maybe the third, I've heard of Jeremy Pruitt wanting to go meet the parents of a recruit at their place of work.
I feel like that's not a bad tactic.
No, it's just in his tool bag, apparently.
Oh, he came to my office and spoke with me. It's a nice thing to do. It's a very respectful thing to do. Stare into your soul?
What it says.
Adrian Martinez is pretty good, by the way. He made a couple of plays during the Nebraska spring game that thought, man, wouldn't mind having that guy around.
Neil Mafia asked, so is the devil the Lord of Light? Now we're back to, it is almost Sunday. We get another.
I will say I appreciate how Neil Mafia tries to turn anything we're talking about into a Thrones reference some way or another. Respect.
He is a Thrones fanatic.
Augusta Vall wants to know if we could go with haddock for Easter. It's very popular in upstate New York, LOL.
Haddock will work. It's just a nice whitefish. Tilapia is a whitefish. Mm. Does it have to be a whitefish? Carp's a whitefish. Sardines, they have to be a whitefish, right? I mean, they're little, so I don't know.
Yeah, I think so.
So a catfish could work, too, for a fish fry?
I think so.
One fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish.
What is it cod? Is that what, like, fish and chips is?
Yes.
Yes.
Always cod, right?
For the most part.
We do cod. A nice ling cod. Hmm. Or halibut. Halibut would be pretty expensive for a fish fry. Probably wouldn't want to fry that.
Nah.
Do love halibut, though. Better than ham.
Ham.
Sheesh. So when's our leprechaun movie binge?
Huh.
How many were there? Eight?
Too many to count.
It's a long time. You still need to see Troll 2 before we start our leprechaun binge.
Troll 2?
It's kind of...
1, 2, 3, 4. Eight, yes.
Eight leprechauns.
That'd take us a while. A whole weekend.
We could skip a couple. At least skip to the end in a couple.
They need to let you start watching movies on like 1.5 speed, like you do podcast.
Mm.
Is that possible?
We could probably make it possible. Get rich.
Yeah. I feel like you just have to have the audio track and the video track. You'd have to split them, and then you can make it work. Isn't that the problem? With fast forwarding like DVDs, is that obviously you can't hear audio once you start skipping ahead.
Correct. Although I thought some you could. I thought there were some where if you hit the 1.5, you actually could still hear it.
Well, maybe 1.5 you could. Maybe it's just that the DVD players don't do 1.5 because why would you want to fast forward that slowly? Mm. So maybe we just need to create a new DVD. Why don't we have our best ideas on the air and then people just can steal them? We should have done this after the show. Could have sold it for $1 billion to Samsung.
David, delete this part of the podcast, please. Actually, just start at the eagle snake story and delete the rest.
So take off the stuff of hour three before that as well. So it's just your eagle story for the podcast.
I just want
to make sure we're
probably
correct on this.
That and beyond. Still can't believe that website had an eagle cursor.
Can you imagine if we did a best of today's show and it was only the...
Can you imagine if this is someone's first day listening to this show? Like, that's my fear. Someone was like, you know what? I'll be damned. I'm going to give 3 and Out a shot, and they're never coming back.
Well, apparently there's changes at the other stations, so we're doing something right.
Oh, yeah. Now that I think about their other options, we'll see you again on Monday.
7
sorry,
to 10.
Sorry.
Right here.
That was mean. That was mean. It's Easter. I need to be nice. But Monday, I'm burning that stuff down. It's going nuclear in here.
Yeah.
I'm kidding, of course.
No, not kidding. Not kidding. What are you looking forward to this weekend? Just fishing?
Freezing my tail off tomorrow on the lake, and then probably some delicious ham.
It's a catch-22 with Thrones because I want to get to it and watch it, but then that means the weekend's over, basically. Ah, like, when Thrones ends, it's like, yeah, I better go to bed.
It is a nice dessert for the weekend, though.
That's true, too, though. It's kind of like, even though it gets late Sunday afternoon, you're like, man, the weekend's almost over. But Thrones is about
it. But I get dessert.
So it's a bittersweet. Very
What's your
bittersweet.
Easter dessert of choice?
Ooh.
Candy? Just leftover candy?
No. Strawberry shortcake.
That feels very Easter to me.
Yeah.
Feels very Easter.
What's your favorite Easter candy?
Reese's egg.
Starburst jelly beans.
What's yours? Reese's egg.
I just love the Cadbury's.
I never got into it. It's just weird.
I don't know
what that is in there.
Especially, you only eat it once a year.
Depends on the temperature in the room. Is it goo? Is it gel? I don't know.
You got to put them in the fridge beforehand.
How do you feel about Peeps?
No.
Suck. Talk Sports is next.
Bear likes Peeps.
John, well,
he would.
Tells you everything you need to know.
I'm just kidding. I love you, Bear.
See you again on Monday.